Bibles this morning, I have a quick thought that I want to share with you. Luke chapter 9. If you could turn to Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 20. Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 20. When you're there, say amen. Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 20. I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, "Once when Jesus was praying in private with his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say I am?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Peter answered, 'God's Messiah.'" Father, we pray in these next few moments, Lord, that you would just, Lord, have your way. Lord, we're so thankful for this opportunity to be here, Lord God, at this appointed time, Lord, to bring your word, to share, to testify, God, and to just fellowship, Lord, with other brothers and sisters, Lord, in the faith. And we pray, God, your anointing upon this word, this time together, Lord God, that you'd speak to our hearts, challenge us, convict us, Lord, and ultimately change us, Lord God, to be more like you. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was reading this portion of scripture in my devotion this week, I began to really think about something. And I don't know if it's just you or maybe it's me, but around the holiday times, I tend to do a lot of soul searching. I don't know what it is, but around Thanksgiving time, Christmas time, around Easter time, is a time for me not just to enjoy the holidays and to enjoy the festivities and all that goes along with it, but it's a time for me that I really begin to do a lot of soul searching, meaning it's a time of reflection for me, both in my life personally and spiritually, in my family's life, and what God is doing in my life. And I begin to take a really just a deep inventory of just where I am and what God is doing. But I also want to try to get back to the basics of why we are celebrating whatever holiday we are celebrating. It's a time for me to assess, to think about what Christ has done and how Christ plays a role in my life and in the season and the holiday that we're celebrating. And it's interesting because if you were to ask different people the same question about what Thanksgiving means to them or what Christmas time means to them, I could almost guarantee you that you would get a different response from each person that you talk to. For example, my family, my entire family, in fact, with the exception of my mother, is unsaved. So when I get together with my family and we celebrate Thanksgiving, Christmas, or Easter, whatever it may be, the reason why I celebrate those holidays is completely different from my family's perspective and point of view. Because to some, the holiday time is what? It's a time of celebration. It's a time to gather together with friends, with families, with loved ones, to enjoy some well-needed and well-deserved time off of work. For some, it's a time to, you know, the old cliche goes, to eat, to drink, to be merry. For others, it's a time of exchanging gifts, treating themselves to maybe a new vehicle, a new item, a new possession, to buy gifts and to celebrate that way, which is nothing wrong with that. But yet there are still those that are perhaps a little bit more traditional, maybe like myself, that try to stay true to the true meaning and the significance of the holiday that we are celebrating. And why am I sharing this today? Well, because as I was reading this portion of scripture here in Luke chapter 9, in the same manner, I believe that we live in a world today that has various beliefs and ideas of who Jesus is. Amen? We heard the testimonies just today from our gentleman who was, you know, sharing the offering. And it's, you know, it's interesting as you greet and you meet different people, you get to hear who they think Jesus is and their ideas of who God is. And see, many still belittle and ignore the Word of God as some fictional storybook written many, many years ago by man, which has little to no relevance to us today. To others, they believe that Jesus, if at best, is recognized as probably a good man, a moral man, quite possibly a prophet or a teacher. Some look at Jesus and view God as perhaps one of many ways to heaven. And many, as we know, deny his existence altogether. And Jesus here in this portion of scripture here in Luke chapter 9, while he is praying with his disciples, he asks them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" And Jesus knew who the crowd said he was because he was God. But he was asking them, you know, who are the people think I am? Who are they saying that I am? Because I believe just as there is today, there was a mixed and there was a widespread view of who Jesus truly was at this time. See, the Bible says that some thought he was John the Baptist. Some thought he was Elijah. Some a resurrected prophet. Some believe he was just one of many ways to heaven, while yet still were others were waiting for that true Messiah to come, and they didn't think that he was that Messiah. And Jesus, obviously knowing the answer already, because we know he was, and he is, and he always will be fully God, asked them, who do others and who do you think I am? Think about that question. During the holiday times, I tend to always ask myself this question. Who is Jesus? Why are we celebrating Thanksgiving? What role does Christ play into this holiday? Why are we celebrating Christmas? What is Christ's role in Christmas? And who is Jesus, is my question to you this morning. Is he just that tiny baby in the manger that we only recognize and celebrate during Christmas time? Is he an impersonable force hovering somewhere in the atmosphere that we really have no communication and dialogue with? Is he a cruel, is he a harsh dictator that gets angry at us when we don't follow and obey his word and his precepts as he commands us to? Or is he that fairy tale character that we can often see depicted on TV or on the news and in our culture or society? Or is he truly indeed the loving, the caring, the forgiving, gracious Savior of all mankind that we've heard testified about here this morning? Who is this Jesus? Friends, the problem is that I believe is that though many of us know something about God, many of us do not truly know and have experienced who Jesus really is. While the Bible tells us that it's Jesus that can cause the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the sick to be made well, the dead to be given life, the demon-possessed to be set free, we know that it's just Jesus that walked on water, that could calm the raging seas, that could resurrect the dead back to life. We know, as the Bible tells, that he was indeed a miracle-working, awesome God. But you know that that's not entirely who Jesus is. Friends, Jesus is the Son of the living God, the Bible tells us. And in Matthew 20, verses 28, it says that this man, Jesus, came to earth not to be served, amen, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came as a substitute payment to give his life willingly to redeem us from ourselves and to set us free from the wages of sin in our lives. Aren't you thankful that Christ has come to set us free today? See, maybe you've never done drugs and you've never done alcohol. Do you know something? You needed Christ just as much as I did in my life. And maybe you can't relate to this, to the testimonies and the things that we've been through. We were all in need of a Savior. And that's who our God is. He's an awesome God. He's a faithful God. He's a God who the Bible says has to come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, Jesus is more than just a good man. He's more than a wonderful teacher, a moral person, an effective preacher, a philosopher, a humanitarian. He was and is and forever will be the eternal Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, and the maker of heaven and earth. And that's really why we're here to be with you today. We're not here for any other reason but to proclaim and to testify the goodness of our God and who Jesus is in our lives. So you can go probably anywhere to get clean, to get sober. I'm sure there's many rehabs and places out there where you can find sobriety. But friends, it's only like in a ministry like Teen Challenge where not only can you find freedom from your addiction, but you can find freedom from your sins and true freedom in Christ. See, Christ hasn't come to just give us life, the Bible says, but he came to give us life abundantly. And I don't believe that abundant life just pertains to just spending eternity in heaven, which I'm so thankful that we're all going to do one day. But Christ has commanded us and promised us that we could enjoy an abundant life here on earth as well. And this can only be found when we have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, because for years before I came into Teen Challenge, I found freedom from drugs. I was clean and I was sober for months, but there was still an emptiness. There was still a void. There was still something missing in my heart. And it wasn't until I walked through these doors in 1995, almost 22 years ago, that I fell to my knees when I heard for the first time this message of freedom, this message of salvation, this message of deliverance, where Christ has truly changed my life forever. We're here today to share with you the faithfulness and the power of our God to take the worst of sinners, like me, like many of us before we walked through the doors of Teen Challenge, and to share how Christ can completely redeem and restore our lives unto him. See, it was in 1995 when I was 22 years old that I was strung out on a three-day crack cocaine run out in Hampton Bays, which is where I was born and raised. And I remember walking down the street one day, lost and searching and hurting, where somebody, out of nowhere, pulled over and handed me this very pamphlet. Well, not this one, because it was black and white back then. But handed me this pamphlet and told me about how they had been praying for me and how they knew my mother and they've been praying for me and that there was a place that could help me to find drugs and alcohol. And I remember I laughed. And I laughed and said, I would never go to this place. These guys are probably crazy. I would never do it. But it was 6 months later where I found myself at another crossroads in my life. And I went to a church that I was recommended to go to in a small town in Hampton Bays. The pastor at the time, his name was Pastor Richard Earl, who is no longer here. He's actually a pastor up in Pennsylvania, where he brought me to Teen Challenge, where I met Christ for the very first time. Friends, how many of you know that Long Island is in desperate need of Jesus? I mean, more than ever before, I truly believe Long Island is in desperate need of Jesus. I mean, I can just, in this past month alone, I can tell you three different phone calls we've received from students who have came to our program and who left premature, who are no longer here with us today, who they have overdosed and they've died because of this epidemic that is literally destroying and killing our young people. I mean, all we have to do is turn on the television, look at the news, and see how heroin and opiate and alcohol addiction is running rampant and destroying people and families at a record rate. I mean, in the most recent statistics that Teen Challenge has, it says 24.6 million individuals ages 12 and up are currently using illicit drugs, including 3 million of adolescents ages 12 to 17. Over 65 million individuals ages 12 and up are binge drinkers, including 2 million adolescents. 2.5 million of the 25 million individuals ages 12 and up receive treatment at a special facility for addiction to illegal drugs this past year. Over $1 trillion has been spent by the federal and the state governments over the last four decades to address this surge in addiction. Friends, we need a revival here on Long Island, amen? But there's good news, amen? God is still in the miracle-working business. And although we keep hearing these bad reports and these terrible statistics, and we see what's, you know, the consequences of addiction and bondage to sin and alcohol and drugs, God is still moving. And Teen Challenge is the vessel that God is using and providing both here on Long Island and all across the world. Do you realize that we have over 1,200 centers nationwide today? We have over 250 facilities in the United States, providing over 250,000 beds to people who are in need of help from their addiction. And here on Long Island alone, we have 100 beds with the sole purpose of bringing hope and healing and deliverance to those who so desperately need to hear the message of Christ. Amen? And what's even more awesome is this, is that just as you've heard this morning, here through songs and through testimonies, that those who have been saved by his grace and those who have been truly experienced his goodness, love, and mercy have never witnessed one indication that Jesus is anything less than what he has claimed to be. Amen? He is the Almighty God. He is the God who can save, who can redeem, that can take the worst of situations and make something beautiful and good at it. He is the greatest gift, friends, given by God to those who believe. He is a gift from heaven like no other gift that we would ever receive on this earth. And he came gift-wrapped in human flesh so we could touch him, so we could see him, so we could communicate with him, so we could have a relationship with him, and we can understand the perfect plan and the purpose that he has for our lives. But if we don't unwrap this gift, we will truly never know what is inside. Who is this Jesus that Jesus asked? Who am I? Who do the people say I am? Well, he's more than a prophet. Amen? He's more than a teacher. He's more than just the founder of the Christian faith. He is the Son of the living God and the Lord and Savior of all mankind. And 1 Peter 1, verses 3 tells us, as I end with this, that he is everything we need. Amen? Not most, not some. He is everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So for those of you here today and for those who could not be here, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your years of continued support prayerfully and financially. We so much appreciate Pastor and his wife and the leadership here for your support over the years. And we want you to know that we're here for you. And if there's anything we could do, besides coming back here every year, which we so enjoy doing, if there's anything we could do, please call us, contact us, let us know. We are here to help you. We want to see Jesus set free those captives that are being held and bound by drug and alcohol addiction. Who do the people say I am? Jesus asks. Well, to me, he is everything. Amen? To us here, he is our deliverer. He's the one that set us free from the very things that we could not find freedom from. Bless you. I want to thank you again. Thank you, Pastor. And I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Greg. We love you. And it's been an honor to be here with you this morning.
That's a nice back to basics message as we head into Christmas, huh? What it's all about. Listen, we always do this, and